This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, reminding you that no matter where you come from in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are men and women there. There are heroes down the street, maybe right next door, who have risked their lives for the sake of your freedom. On the recently completed inaugural journey of Central Valley Honor Flight, 69 World War II veterans from 15 different hometowns in Central California got to experience the National World War II Memorial. And I'll tell you, I don't know if I have ever been more proud to be from this area than I was watching the way these men were welcomed home at the Fresno Yosemite International Airport. I think for all of us who were there, it really exceeded expectations. You didn't know what that was going to be like until you were there to feel it. And the goosebumps got a little bigger even at the sold-out Fresno State football game against Nevada when a halftime tribute to those veterans elicited an extended standing ovation from 41,000 people and even an impromptu chant of USA, USA started by the student section. Maybe you're one of those people who took time to be at the airport to welcome them home, or maybe you're one of the many who found a way to support our effort with time or money or energy. It's truly been amazing to see a dream turn into reality and to see that this is something all of us can agree on. It really is inspiring, and we're just getting started. I don't want to get carried away here. I just wanted to say thanks. So thank you for allowing us to say thank you to these veterans in such a powerful way. Our guest today is one of those veterans, 95-year-old Leonard Heinrichs of Dinuba. And it's been at times a pretty emotional conversation. You've heard a few pauses and moments where Mr. Heinrichs got a little choked up. And maybe you would too if you had been a surgical technician in the war and had to witness the unintended consequences, the battle wounds he had to try to stitch up on innocent children around Foggia, Italy, where he was stationed, the moment in which he decided not to accompany a friend to the front lines, only to hear later that the men on either side of that friend had perished. There are plenty of things that leave Mr. Heinrichs feeling pretty blessed. And when we left off, he was saying how much he was hoping just to come home. He had left behind a pregnant wife when he headed overseas, and his firstborn son would be 18 months old by the time Leonard made it back to the States after World War II.
When did you finally get to come home, and what was that like?
They told me that if we would take our equipment and things, medicine, if we would take that along, we would have a hard time getting it all in shape, so it would take us longer before we would be asked to come home. So what we did, we had a great chest about that size. We had a lot of equipment, medicine, and stuff to just
medical supplies that you would stash in theirs.
We also had some German Luger or two, and had a couple of other equipment that we were going to take home, and we decided we wouldn't going to take a chance that we wouldn't get on that ship. So we were near a farm. And that farm had one tree in more or less in the center of the farm. And we went to that place and dug a hole and buried that trunk with all the equipment. And then about a few years later, I took my family out there, and you know, that tree was gone. They had no way of finding out where that trunk was. Because I thought, sure, I was going to get a German Luger, and I was going to get some other things. I had no way of finding out where that was.
So either some Italian farmer found a great surprise, or that's still buried somewhere, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Or you think it's possible that it still might be buried out there somewhere? Or you think when they dug the tree up, it came up?
We really buried it good, so it may still be there.
Sounds like you weren't too worried about it when you knew you would get to see your wife and meet your son for the first time. What I can't imagine, you know, just being a father, I can't imagine what that feels like to meet for the first time a child that's already a year and a half. What was that like for you?
Well, I think I was, of course, I was happy to see him, but I think I wasn't much of a father in the beginning. I don't think I was as kind to him as I should have been, because I thought he should respond to my wanting to him to do things. And I would sometimes take naps at noon, and we were living close to where they were training soldiers. So one time when I was taking a nap, the sergeant calls out, "Attention!" And man, I was standing beside my bed.
Old habits die hard, huh?
Just all of a sudden, I was there, always ready.
When you think back on World War II and what you experienced and what you know about how many Americans were wounded, were killed, what it took to win that war, what would you say that stands out to you that you're most proud of or most satisfied with your involvement in it?
We thought that was a war to win. To end all wars. We thought surely we would have learned. But we didn't, did we? Just didn't. We didn't. So I am just happy that I had the experience, but I'm also happy that I had the experience of having a family that I grew up with and enjoyed. I'm happy to live in a land of freedom.
Well, you just came back from a pretty good birthday trip, I guess. Tell me about your experience with Central Valley Honor Flight and what you got out of it.
I was never expected to get as much out of it. I thought, well, I'll go and see a monument. So when I go see a place where I don't have anybody to guide me, and there's just a lot of enjoyment to see the things that I can see. But here we had a guide, people to tell us things that we enjoyed hearing, and it was just wonderful. It was just awesome.
And they didn't build that memorial until 9 years ago. So you and most of those guys on that trip had never seen it before. To see that memorial in the field of gold stars for the 405,000 Americans who didn't come home, what was that like for you to be in that place at that moment with all those other veterans?
I used the word awesome in it, and I can't say it often enough. It's just wonderful to be in this land of freedom. It's just awesome.
I know your guardian for this trip was a friend of mine, Red Estes. He and his wife both went as guardians.
Yeah.
I saw a couple good pictures of you guys on the trip. It seemed like you two had a little fun out there.
Yeah.
What did you appreciate about his work as your guardian?
I told him he went way over. He did over and above helping me to enjoy the time we were there. He's a solid citizen. He sure is.
Did you make some friends with all those other veterans on the trip?
I think, yeah. We were enjoying each other's fellowship, but no, I didn't make any close friends except the Red and his wife. They are so, they mean a lot to me.
I think they'd say the same. I just saw the birthday card they just sent you. And on that birthday card, there's a picture of you with lipstick on your cheek. Tell us where that came from.
People would say, would thank us. And this lone lady, she just determined, I think she put on extra lipstick and then came over and kissed me on my cheek. And she did not only do it to me. She had, I think, at least two other guys that I saw. They were kidding me that they were going to tell my wife or my daughter. And I said, "You just go right ahead." That was great. That was good.
And I know on the trip home, you guys had some special packages to open too. Tell me about that.
I didn't expect to have a mail call again. I had never had that since I was in the service. 10 different letters that came from people that were thanking me. So It brought back memories of a real mail call. Yeah, that's for sure.
Did all of this make you understand how appreciated you are? Because I'm sure there's times that you maybe didn't realize how much other people appreciate you and your generation and what you did. Did you feel that?
Yeah. Coming home the other time, there was just no activity like that. There no sign of people appreciating having been there.
So you were a little surprised by how many people were waiting for you at the airport?
Oh, I thought half of Fresno was there. Oh, my goodness. All these soldiers standing on the along the wall, and all the music and the people that I knew. There was one of the guys that I knew that was in with our group, and his wife was standing there, and it was amazing. My brother and his wife were there, and super. It was super.
So if there's a veteran out there listening right now that's heard about it but isn't sure if he wants to go on honor flight, you have any words for him?
I think he shouldn't miss it. Man, it's far beyond the normal. You may think like I did that I would go and see the monument, but there's more to it. A lot more.
Is there anything else that I haven't asked you about that you think we ought to know?
I think we covered it. I think we covered it.
Well, I want to say thank you for serving our country. Thank you for telling us about it. Thank you for being part of our inaugural Central Valley Honor Flight. And look forward to number 96, right?
Oh, yeah, number 96. Oh, yeah. Well, I was thinking it's about time to go. But you don't have those choices. So anyway, I'm appreciate all the effort made to let us enjoy this time like this. It was just great, just great.
So glad to hear you say that. That is Leonard Heinrichs of Dinuba, California. Just celebrated his 95th birthday, and there are 5 children and more than 20 grandkids and great-grandkids who say, it's not time to go just yet. Don't be in a hurry now. I'm sure between now and the next mission for Central Valley Honor Flight in March, we'll be hearing more stories from some of the 69 men who made that trip. Next week, we're going to hear from a female veteran of World War II. You're thinking maybe she was a Wave or in the WAX or maybe even the WASPs, or maybe you don't know what any of those are. But nope, she wasn't any of those. She was one of the first women to serve in the U.S. Marine Corps. She just turned 90. And I'm not exaggerating when I say she'd pass for 70. So that's going to be pretty fun next time around. I'm probably going to be preaching to the choir here, but how about making sure Veterans Day is more than just a day off from work or school? Take some time out of your day to honor those who have paid for the freedom we so easily take for granted. If you're in Kern County, they're in Bakersfield, get out to 21st and L in downtown Bakersfield by 10 a.m. to experience the Veterans Day parade there. If you're listening today on the Central Coast, there are lots of great ways to honor our veterans, like at 11 a.m., the Veterans Day celebration on the pier at Pismo Beach. Think about how clean and safe and peaceful that beach is, and reflect on the contrast to beaches 70 years ago in places like Tarawa, Iwo Jima, Okinawa, and of course, Normandy. If you're around Fresno, maybe I'll see you at the West Coast's largest Veterans Day parade. Or actually, maybe I won't see you because I may have a little tunnel vision watching my daughters march with their cheerleader friends in the Fresno Veterans Day Parade. Whatever your hometown is, make sure those heroes know you haven't forgotten what they've done and what so many continue to do today. Thanks for listening to Hometown Heroes. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.